tracking Hurricane Dorian. Good Tuesday morning and live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect, and I'm Melissa Ross. Thanks for listening. And this hour, we'll speak with public officials and responders across the region to bring you the very latest on Hurricane Dorian's path. Give us a call. Join us. It's 549-2937. Right now, a tropical storm warning has been issued for Duval and Nassau County coastlines. St. Johns County is also under a hurricane warning as Hurricane Dorian churns up Florida's coast. With maximum sustained winds of 120 miles an hour, the hurricane is now a Category 3 storm, but still quite dangerous. It was stationary for some time and located about 100 miles east of West Palm Beach earlier this morning. But Dorian is on the move again, although very, very slowly, and it's making that much-anticipated turn to the north-northwest. It's eventually going to make its way to us. So let's go now to Jacksonville Mayor Lenny Curry. He's on the line with an update from the city's Emergency Operations Center. Mayor Curry, thanks so much for being with us.
Good morning.
Good morning. And we're getting some good news this morning that the storm's eye will actually pass us offshore. Of course, we still need to remain on guard. Can you share the latest on city preparations?
Yeah, well, and Melissa, let me just say, regardless of the Dorian strength offshore of our coast, the dangerous hazards, including sustained tropical storm force winds, storm surge, and flooding rainfall threats remain the same. I would remind your listeners that the last two storms that we faced, tropical storm impacts created all the damage and flooding that we saw. This is still a very serious storm, and we need to be smart. People need to be prepared.
That's right. Evacuations, as you've been telling everyone, in zones A and B have already gotten underway. Check jacksready.com to figure out your zone. And as you mentioned, Mayor, potential flooding, certainly a big concern for many people after what we endured in the aftermath of Hurricane Irma. Can you share how the city is dealing with that possibility, more potential flooding?
Yeah, we, for the last, it's been almost a week now since we've been under threat by this storm. In fact, you'll recall, if you go back to last week, the original track had it coming at us, and it was supposed to impact us this past weekend, and it slowed down, and unfortunately has just been sitting over the Bahamas. Just what a tragedy. But we've Public Works have been out, you know, cleaning drainage, securing infrastructure that handles flooding, and making sure that everything that we have in place operates as though it's supposed to. I know that the JEA has done some stuff on those lift stations to prevent the backup that they had in previous storms as well. So we're prepared for what's to come. We're prepared to for the aftermath, whatever that looks like. My hope is that if this thing just keeps going the opposite direction. But right now, we just need people to, you know, there's still time to evacuate. Probably through midday today. Could have winds this evening that are of the speed that would close bridges. If that happens, then you're locked if you're at the beaches. So we just need people to heed the warnings. And this evening, being wherever you are, shelter, home, as they say, hunker down.
Yeah.
And don't go outside.
That's right. One more question for you, Mayor. Some listeners have been asking us if the city of Jacksonville might, at some point in the future, distribute sand or sandbags the next time we face a major storm. Some other Florida municipalities and East Coast communities have been looking at that. Any thoughts on that?
You know, it's long been the policy of the city for many years not to distribute sandbags due to the geographic size of our city, our population, and the highest and best use of resources. I do know that the city council discussed this a couple of years ago, and there was no movement on it. So I would say right now we're deploying resources to their highest and best use to keep people safe and secure. If the council wants to have this discussion again on behalf of the public, the time to have this is not when we're in the middle of the storm. I will say this, though. Those that asked for sandbags, we worked with councilperson Brenda Priestley Jackson, to make sure that those neighborhoods had access to our Public Works and were able to help put them in touch with nonprofits that were able to help them with the sandbags they needed.
Thanks for that update. Jacksonville Mayor Lenny Curry, we appreciate your time on this busy day. Thanks, Mayor.
There might be some anecdotal good news. I'm at Atlantic Beach right now, and it looks pretty quiet. So
yeah.
Maybe people must be listening. So
that's right.
Thank you. Y'all be safe.
You too. Thank you. Yes. Folks at the beaches, for the most part, have heeded the call to evacuate. And with mandatory evacuations ordered up and down the coast, people are being asked to check their zone. Again, go to jaxready.com or you can download the Jax Ready app to look at that. Time is running out to leave as tropical storm force winds are expected in our area this afternoon. WJCT's Lindsay Kilbride spoke with St. Johns County Emergency Management Director Jeffrey Alexander to learn how those zones are mapped.
If you type in your address to find your evacuation zone and your county website says you don't have one, it's not a mistake, Alexander says.
You may not be in an evacuation zone. That means that based on the hazards of a hurricane, we don't have a hurricane scenario that's going to cause you to evacuate.
St. Johns County has six evacuation zones, A through F. The zones are figured out using something called a SLOSH model from the National Hurricane Center.
They run tens of thousands of scenarios of hurricanes affecting this county. They tell us where those different models can bring the water. We take the maximum amount of water that can be in an area, and we use it as a dividing line.
And voila, you have a zone. There's also a special zone in St. John's, F, based on a very specific set of factors. So, for instance, mandatory evacuations are in effect for zones A and B, but also parts of F, Hastings and Flagler Estates.
The circumstances are there that could cause the same sort of flooding we saw with Irma in those areas, and we want to give them the heads up.
Alexander is urging anyone in a mandatory evacuation zone to leave their home as soon as possible. And for those with no evacuation zone, maybe consider taking in friends or family who do have to evacuate. Lindsay Kilbride, 89.9 WJCT News.
Thanks for that, Lindsay. And if you're just tuning in, it's our special coverage of Hurricane Dorian. Give us a call. It's 549-2937. Let's head back out to the beaches now. Mayor Lenny Curry told us that's where he was this morning. We're going to go right back out to Atlantic Beach. Mayor Ellen Glasser is working with other beaches officials to prepare for the storm. Mayor Glasser, good to have you on the show. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning from Atlantic Beach.
Good morning from the beaches. So how are evacuations going? We heard Mayor Curry a few minutes ago say it's very quiet out there. So is it fair to say most folks have heeded the call to evacuate off the beaches? What are you dealing with this morning?
Well, it's hard to get a good handle on how many people left. But I will say, driving around yesterday, it was very quiet. Traffic was not bad. A number of our businesses were already closed up with sandbags in the front, and many houses were boarded up. We know people do stay, and after going through a number of hurricanes, we hope they're prepared. We hope they have heeded the cautions because it is a mandatory evacuation, and we're not out of the woods.
That's right. And certainly after Hurricane Matthew and then Hurricane Irma, we've all of us learned the hard way. Even if the storm doesn't make a direct hit, we can certainly feel the impacts. It is really good to see that cone moving offshore, Mayor Glasser. But yeah, we've got to be very watchful. Are there shelters out nearby you where people can get to if they decide to leave their homes at the last minute? Say this afternoon they don't get off the beach and they're stuck out there if the bridges should close. What's the plan for those people?
Well, if the bridges close, they will not be able to leave the beach. And then so they're going to have to either shelter in place because we're really not going to be able to help them. I'm hoping that people will make the decision to leave before that happens and go to the shelters that are on the other side of the intercoastal. And there are several that are open. Those are all posted on the COJ website and available through Jax Ready. You don't want to wait until the bridge is closed. And we are under a tropical storm warning now, so we could be looking at the winds that would cause those closures to take place.
Right. Isn't it above 40 miles an hour that you tend to close the beaches?
Yes, it's got to be sustained winds of 40 miles per hour or greater, and every bridge is different. So they may not all close at the same time, but once they all close, they will remain closed and open at one time to sort of maintain order in terms of reentry to the beach.
Wherever you are in the community, we want your calls now as we track the path of Hurricane Dorian. It's 549-2937. Give us a call. Right now we're talking to Atlantic Beach Mayor Ellen Glasser. Now, Mayor Glasser, the sale of alcohol was banned at the beaches to sort of nudge people to get off the shoreline. Can you tell us a little bit more about that, and how effective do you think that might have been in getting people to move away from the water?
Well, when you have a mandatory evacuation and you are encouraging people to leave, continued sales of alcohol sort of in the coastal areas is not consistent with that message. It's not always popular with some of the people that visit and live here, certainly not always popular with the businesses who lose revenue. But the three beach mayors, we are agreed that this was the right thing to do. I visited all the establishments yesterday that were still open in Atlantic Beach to deliver those orders, and to a person, they were very understanding. They asked questions about when the ban would be lifted, and that's when it's safe. But they understand that the reason for this. We don't want to be encouraging people to come to the beach and to party and to go to establishments and then be in a position where we can't help them if something happens and they are impaired.
That's right. And of course, it's always notable to see how all of the beaches, mayors and first responders work so well together in these types of severe weather situations. I mean, Atlantic Beach, Neptune Beach, Jack's Beach, it's all just one big barrier island, right? And so the coordination is always, it seems, a well-oiled machine, Mayor Glasser. Anything else that you're concerned about or you need the public to know about today?
Well, I will say that the forecast, Dorian is now a 3. It's still off the coast, and so it's looking a little better for us today. But the potential for storm surge and flooding is very real. The track could shift, and we could still see a very fierce hurricane hit the Florida coast. So this is not a time to relax. Please heed the information that has been put out. Be prepared. Ask for help if you need it. We are here to help people as long as we can and as best as we can. So just don't relax yet, everybody. We're all in this together.
That's right. Wise words from Ellen Glasser, the mayor of Atlantic Beach, on the line for us from the beaches. Mayor Glasser, we'll see you on the other side. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for being interested in what we're doing here.
And it's 549-2937. We want to hear from you, First Coast, wherever you are around town. Give us a call. Let us know if you had to evacuate, if you had to board up some windows, any concerns or questions you have about the path of Hurricane Dorian. Let's go now to our station manager, David Luckin. He is on the line from the beaches where he is a resident. And David, good morning. Sunny and nice out there right now, but of course that's going to change soon, isn't it?
Good morning, Melissa. I would say the winds are definitely picking up. The sun is beginning to be blocked out. They pushed sand up into all the accesses to the beach to hopefully mitigate that ocean from coming right into the neighborhood. And as the mayor said, it seems like a lot of people evacuated, but if you go into the neighborhoods, there's cars at every house. I don't think a lot of people did evacuate, but the main streets would make you think that. Third and Atlantic are just empty. And as the mayor said, a lot of businesses boarded up, but I still see people walking. Family just came here to see the ocean. Two little kids in the beach. So it's still an event to come and see if you want to, or some people think. The beach is supposedly closed, but there are a lot of people on the beach.
Right. Some people may be seeing that the path of the storm is veering a little bit to the east, the eye of it not projected currently to make landfall, David, on our coastline. Good news. But of course, you and I and all of us, we've been through so many of these hurricanes through the years that we know through tough experience that can change. And you really should heed an evacuation order if you're close to where the biggest intensity of the storm's going to hit. And this is a monster storm. We must make sure to state that again. This is tying the record for one of the strongest storms ever recorded in the Atlantic.
And what do you think, Melissa? One of the slowest?
And one of the slowest, which is terrible for the Bahamas and for Florida.
When it's this strong, you want it to come and go, and it's just sitting there. It's barely even made the turn north, so let's hope it stays on track and doesn't veer, you know, west by 20 miles, or we'll be in for a little more activity than we wish for.
Yeah. You know, and when you talk to climate scientists, they will talk about the factors driving storms becoming not only bigger and producing more rainfall and water vapor, but also slower. And in a nutshell, our warming planet is part of the reason why. And this storm is creeping along at 1 mile an hour, which has just, as we've been observing, David, it's just been hideous for people on Abacos and Grand Bahama Island. And the devastation there has been heartbreaking to see because it just pounded those islands for such a long time. And the worst case scenario, of course, would be that it just lingers on our coast for an inordinate amount of time. We really hope that it moves quickly, as you said.
Well, I don't know where those winds are coming from. There's actually a good breeze out here now. I'm not sure if it's the outer band. We will hunker down.
That's right. And thank you for that call. Stay safe, my friend. We appreciate you being with us. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
That's our station manager, David Luckin, calling in from the beaches. If you're just tuning in, we are tracking the path of Hurricane Dorian for the full hour on the show this morning. The worst effects aren't likely to happen in our area until tomorrow, tonight into tomorrow. But high tide is about 5 o'clock. I'm getting tweets from folks reminding me. And that could certainly make an impact beyond just the path of the storm. High tide tomorrow at about 5 o'clock. That can, as we learned through Matthew and Irma, really impact inland flooding. Okay, let's go over a few more vital bits of information. In Duval County, zones A and B are under a mandatory evacuation. In Nassau, it's zones A, C, and F. In St. John's County, A and B. And in Clay County, A and B. You can check Jack's Ready for the Duval zone map. Go to your county's government website for zone maps for neighboring counties. Public schools in Duval, Baker, Bradford, Clay, Nassau, Putnam, and St. John's all closed today. Most of them will be closed tomorrow. Major universities closed through Wednesday. There are shelters open at sites throughout the region. If you need to get to a shelter, go to those websites, find the nearest shelter to you. Walt Disney World is closing today at 3 o'clock due to the storm. And if you need public transportation, we need to let you know about this. The JTA, the Jacksonville Transportation Authority, will suspend all services today at 1 o'clock. However, it's going to continue special transit for people with disabilities or life-sustaining trips. They will be running evacuation shuttles, however. The St. John's River Ferry service is suspended until further notice. The beaches are closed. As we heard Mayor Curry and Mayor Glasser say on the program here just a few minutes ago, particularly if you're out there at the beaches and in an evacuation zone, get off the beach before the bridges close, because once sustained winds are maxing out above 40 miles an hour, you're going to be stuck. I know lots of you have ridden out a lot of hurricanes and just prefer to stay where you are, but it's always wise to stay on the safe side. We are going to take a short break, and still to come here on the show, your phone calls, tweets, and emails. And we'll head down to St. John's County, where preparations have been underway for a couple of days now for Hurricane Dorian. Give us a call. It's 549-2937. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9, and we'll be right back.
Every family has secrets. In my family, the secret was me. I was secret because I was black. These days you'd say I was biracial. But in the 50s, when you were born, you were either born black or you were born white. End of story.
Join us for more true stories told live next time on the Moth Radio Hour from the Public Radio Exchange, PRX.org.
Saturday at noon on 89.9 WJCT.
What can $9.90 get you? Access to the very best in science, nature, and history docs. Introducing WJCT's newest member benefit, PBS Passport Plus Curiosity Stream. Now for the first time, you can get access to all of the great documentaries on PBS's Passport and also get access to the incredible collection of Curiosity Stream, the new documentary service created by the founder of the Discovery Channel. A $9.90 monthly contribution gets you ongoing access to both Curiosity Stream and PBS's Passport service. It's a member benefit unlike any we've ever created and available only from WJZT. Sign up today to get all the documentaries you love anytime, anywhere, on any device. Passport plus Curiosity Stream together for $9.90 per month.
Welcome back. Well, we're tracking Hurricane Dorian here on the show this morning. It's beginning its much anticipated turn right now to the north and northwest, away from the Bahamas, where it delivered an extended and horrific pounding. As Dorian heads toward the U.S. mainland, it is expected to bring significant impacts. We are tracking that here at 89.9 through the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network. And the storm is moving really slowly, just 1 mile per hour as it creeps our way. Kelly Wilson is senior planner for the St. Johns County Emergency Ops Center and joins us now for an update. Kelly Wilson, thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. And of course, St. Johns County is under a hurricane warning, not a watch. What's the latest in your area? How are you all preparing?
Well, we have been, you know, running statement around here, some days we feel like we're doing Groundhog Day because the storm is just moving so slowly. This morning, it's a strange day when you look at it, and it's moving 1 mile an hour, and you're like, well, at least it started moving again. So what we have, our EOC is activated to a level one. Our shelter operations are open. We have 6 shelters, 2 pet friendlies, 1 special needs shelter. The rest, the other 3, are general population shelters. We're moving our logistical staging packages around, all the different things that go with our shelters. We're preparing for the event. We have everybody in the EOC, and we're sitting ready to respond for whatever this storm eventually brings us.
Right, whatever it could bring, and it's always tough to anticipate that. Of course, after Hurricane Irma, we saw historic flooding across the First Coast region, which kind of took us all by surprise. St. Augustine, I well remember, Kelly, those images of the bayfront in St. Augustine completely flooded out. That's just one example of what you might be dealing with, right?
Right, and we're actually concerned with the areas, especially this one is almost a strange combo of concern. It's similar to both Matthew and Irma because, Matthew flooded our beach areas and areas in St. Augustine significantly. Irma, there was flooding there, but the more significant flooding was out near the Hastings and Flagler Estates area. It's why we actually added it, Flagler Estates and Hastings. We added them into the evacuation zone for the call for evacuation because we're afraid that they, too, will receive the type of flooding that they may have gotten in Irma. So, the storm surge forecast, even though, I heard a little bit of the show, and it's important to remember, even if this storm tracks well offshore, we are looking at pushing significant amounts of water our way with incredible wave action.
Mm-hmm.
I believe this morning's wave action, they're looking at 15 and 20-foot waves, the type of waves we haven't seen. They were even speaking since all the way back to Dora. So you're looking at significant wave action, which will, anybody that's been, especially on our north beaches, they are still trying to recover from Matthew and Irma. So that kind of battering on those beaches is going to be significant.
Absolutely. And lots of calls for you, Kelly. It's 549-2937. As we speak with Kelly Wilson, she's senior planner for the St. Johns County Emergency Operations Center. As we track Dorian's slow path towards us, Mylon is in Ponte Vedra Beach. Good morning. Are you still out there at the beach?
Yeah. Oh, hello. Good morning, all, everybody. We've evacuated out to Fruit Cove.
Okay. Good.
So I just, my question is, for this storm, is I'd just like to have an idea of how far inland could the storm surge reach inland with this particular hurricane? What do you think?
Yeah, what about that, Kelly? Thanks, Mylon.
Well, see, and that's the thing. That's why we have evacuated both A and B. We looked at the storm surge forecast when we got it. So the storm surge could move, all the way into the city of St. Augustine. It depends on how close it's that magic how close. And, with a hurricane, what matters is, you're talking about a couple miles one way or the other makes all the difference in the world. Matthew, at his closest approach, was down near the southern end of our county, near Summerhaven, at about 30 miles offshore. And we saw significant storm surge flooding, sometimes all the way to US 1 in the city of St. Augustine. Could we see that again? Yes. But it just matters. Does it track 100 miles offshore, or does it track, 50 miles offshore? And we're not going to know that until it gets moving again. I mean, it's sort of parallel, I think, this morning, somewhere near about West Palm Beach, about-ish, somewhere down there near Stewart. So we're eventually just going to have to wait for it. But that is why we have evacuated both zones A and B, to ensure that the worst case of the track forecast now, we will have people out of the way of that storm surge.
It kind of reminds me a little bit of the path of Hurricane Matthew, Kelly, where it sort of meandered up the coastline, but never really made landfall. But we certainly felt it, to say the least.
We like to remind people, because they do remember how significant Matthew was for us, and to remind them it never made landfall here, and you saw the significant impacts that it caused as a storm that never made landfall. So please don't think that this one cannot do the same thing as it comes past us. The effects to us can be significant. We are under it. You spoke of the hurricane warning. We also have a storm surge warning up, which means that there is the potential for life-threatening storm surge flooding.
It's 549-2937 as we speak with Kelly Wilson, St. Johns County Emergency Ops. Marianne is in Riverside. Hey, Marianne.
Good morning. Thank you for having me and listening to me. I have some concerns. Everybody talks about the beach and everything that's going out there, but what about us west of the river? Is there, Riverside, Avondale, Ortega?
Sure.
Can we stay?
right. Especially after Irma, I'm sure you're a little concerned.
Yes, but that was the perfect storm. That was the nor'easter meeting the hurricane, and it came up the river, which really did us in.
I know it. And, some folks still haven't recovered from that flooding, Marianne. And so, Marianne, thank you for the call. Kelly, I know you're in St. Johns County, but the unpredictability of these storms is what has people on edge, because unexpected impacts can happen in inland neighborhoods, as we learned a couple of years ago, in a really devastating way.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, I cannot speak to her area specifically, but what I can, or her evacuation zone. But what I can tell you is we have, in fact, in St. Johns County, we have two A zones. There's the A zone that runs along the Atlantic Ocean, and there's also the A zone that runs along the St. Johns River. And that zone, too, has been evacuated, because we talk about that storm surge flooding. There is a coastal flood warning for the inland waterways, and that means the St. Johns River and its tributaries. And I think the best explanation of that is the one that the National Weather Service Jacksonville gives us, and that is, it's like putting, when you put a kid or a dog in a bathtub and they slosh that water back and forth. Well, the St. Johns River is very wide, so that water is in fact going to slosh back and forth like that. So that is why we have, in fact, like we talked about, Irma flooded those folks out of the river. So in St. Johns County, we have evacuated those people along the river.
Yep, and wise to do so. Janice is in Jacksonville Beach. Janice, good morning. You're on the air.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I am just wondering, living at Jacksonville Beach, there is a widespread rumor that seems to be floating around, and it gets larger and larger, that the city of Atlantic Beach, Neptune Beach, Jacksonville Beach, turns off the power and the water once we have a mandatory evacuation. Is that rumor true? I tried and fact-checked and have not found any answers. Does anyone have an answer for that? Thank you.
Is your power still on?
Yes.
Okay.
I do have power and I do have water. Yes,
all right. That's good to hear. Kelly, I have not heard that. Is that something that's commonly done?
Well, I can speak from Florida Power and Light, who is sitting in this building, along with the Jacksonville Electric Authority, who takes care of a northern portion of our county. They do not turn off electricity. Your electricity goes off when, you know, and I can only speak, you know, with like Florida, like I said, Florida Power and Light, your power goes off when something damages the system to make it go off. Now, in regards to the water, I don't know anything about what the water situation is up there, so I just cannot answer that question.
Okay, let's take one more call. It's Lisa on the west side. Go ahead, Lisa.
Good morning, Melissa. I wanted to respond to Marianne's question about the evacuation zones on the west side. Those changed a few years ago, and so you need to go to the city map and enter your address. But what a lot of people don't realize is that places along the river, many places along the river, the Ortega River, McGirt's Creek, Julington Creek, the Trout River, the places directly on the river were added as Zone A, which is the same as, you know, many of the beaches area. People think of only the beaches being Zone A. But now many places along the river are Zone A.
That's right, Lisa. And thank you for pointing that out. We've become so sensitized to any waterfront areas now can be at really high risk. So thank you, Lisa. And Kelly Wilson, anything else people in St. Johns County need to know or a website they should visit to learn what's happening in their area?
Absolutely. We would recommend you go to the St. Johns County website. And we have placed our website, the link directly. We're pushing everybody to the St. Johns County website. If you do not know what zone you're in, you can use our My Evacuation Zone tool and you enter your St. Johns County address. It will bring it right up whether you are in a zone or not. If you're not, you do not need to evacuate. And we encourage you, if you have friends in an evacuation zone, you know, invite them to stay with you. They'll be more comfortable there than one of our public shelters. But we do want to make sure that everybody knows, like, don't let your guard down just yet. Conditions right now you're feeling, these are actually a nor'easter. These aren't even the hurricane yet. This is a local nor'easter that has developed over the top of us. That's what this wind and rain is. That hurricane isn't, it's not even near us yet. But hopefully today it picks up and it gets moving and can get on past us. So we need everybody to stay, you know, stay vigilant and keep paying attention. We're looking at the effects not starting until late tonight or early tomorrow morning. So, you know, you need to rush to completion. Any other thing, you know, if your shutters, get them up. If you need to sandbag anything to prevent water, finish it. If your food, water, anything you need to do, you need to rush that to completion today because you are running out of time.
Great advice, Kelly. Kelly Wilson, she's senior planner for the St. Johns County Emergency Operations Center. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. And as we've been talking about, people in certain evacuation zones were ordered to get out yesterday. In Duval County, it was zones A and B. You can check your zone at jacksready.com. However, some families not even in those zones decided to get out of town. WJCT's Michelle Corum spoke with one of them.
James Strickland of Jacksonville has half a day to pack up what he wants to take.
Waters, non-perishables, closed for a week.
And he's raising up anything left behind.
Pretty much anything that could face water damage downstairs is going upstairs.
He and his fiance, baby, and two cats are temporarily moving to higher ground since his house sits in what he calls a dip.
There's a water reservoir back behind our house. The river is maybe 5 blocks away, and other than that, there's an overpass coming up over us with the hill. So I feel if anywhere the water would converge, it'd be here.
While living in Riverside, he rode through Hurricanes Matthew and Irma, but this time circumstances are different.
Well, the difference really is is having my daughter. It's not so much the hurricane itself. It's, the impending threat of, it's not just me now.
They're headed to stay with family in a non-evacuation zone, which has less chance of flooding. Michelle Corum, 89.9 WJCT News.
Thanks, Michelle. Listening to that family gives you an idea of the stress many are feeling right now as Dorian inches perilously close to the coastline. Hurricane stress is quite real. In a moment, we'll speak with a psychologist about that. He'll take your calls. First, though, the Florida Department of Health says parents need to take their kids' feelings into consideration when they talk to them about Hurricane Dorian. Abe Abaraya has that story.
The Florida Department of Health says children have three big fears during a disaster: that they'll be separated from family or be left alone, that someone will get hurt or killed, and that the event will happen again. Experts say it's important to be honest with children, but also manageable when describing the possible effects of the storm. DOH recommends adding two of your child's favorite toys, their favorite blanket or pillows, and pictures of family and pets to your hurricane kits. Parents should also keep medications and a copy of their children's immunization records on hand, including the date of their last tetanus shot. The American Academy of Pediatrics says parents should reassure children that adults and other helpers are working to keep them safe and that the family circle is strong. Keep an eye on adolescents, who can be hit hardest during events, and don't let children be overexposed to media after a storm. For Health News Florida, I'm Abe Abaraya in Orlando.
Great advice. It's certainly a stressful event for children, but it is for adults too, of course. People are really on edge, as many of you are feeling, particularly in a region where we still haven't fully recovered from the impact of Hurricane Irma 2 years ago. Dr. David Cheshire is a trauma psychologist with UF Health Jacks, and he's on the line. Doctor, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And are you stressed out by the storm? Let's talk about it. Give us a call. Share your thoughts and concerns. It's 549-2937. You know, people cope with hurricanes here in Florida with a bit of gallows humor, Doctor. They make jokes about it sometimes. They stress eat. It's something that we've kind of all gotten used to, but you can never truly get blasé about this. What's your advice for people who are trying to manage their stress right now as they make their final preparations?
Sure. I think everything you just said is accurate, that we do kind of do a lot of tongue-in-cheek when it comes to these things coming up the coast, and that's part of the coping. But I think it's also important to realize that having anxiety when these things happen, that's normal, and anxiety serves us. It's what keeps us out of harm's way. It's what spurns us into action to make sure that we're getting ready and getting prepared. And the best we can do is basically acknowledging that, it's okay to be a little bit anxious. That's what keeps us safe, and doing what we can to prepare and controlling the things we can, like keeping ourselves and our families and our neighbors and our loved ones all safe.
That's the irony of hurricanes, that I think we feel every time this happens. On the one hand, they're very stressful, but on the other hand, they serve as a sort of community bonding agent, don't they? People make an effort to look after old folks in their neighborhood or anyone in a vulnerable position. They check on their loved ones. I guess if there is a silver lining to these storms, that's it. What it does for human connection, right?
Absolutely. One of the upsides of tragedy is it brings us together and it shows us at our best. And it gives us a chance to make sure that people maybe that we have lost a little bit of touch with, or the people who live right next door, to reach out to check on them and reform those connections.
Okay. So what about after the storm? How do you advise patients and clients that you deal with if they've had damage at their property? That's the big worry for so many people. Whether you've got a big mansion or a little house or an apartment, you're worried about flooding, you're worried about roof damage, you're worried about physical safety. It's sort of a relief to see that the eye is headed a little out to sea, but we're going to have a tense 24 to 48 hours regardless.
Right, and absolutely. When things strike us at our homes where we're naturally supposed to feel safe, and all of a sudden that's not as safe as perhaps we once thought, or that we have a lot of trees coming down, yard debris, or floodwaters, that is anxiety provoking. And again, it's right to be anxious. It's right to look out for each other. It's what we really need to do is make sure that we stay connected, that we don't retreat from everybody, to make sure that we're checking out for each other. And again, taking charge of what we can take charge in, taking stock in what you do have. And if there is damage, to basically put yourself in problem-solving mode and contact your insurance company, contact people who can help. Just make sure that you don't become isolated.
Yeah. Give us a call if you're still stressed from the last hurricane as we prepare for another one. It's 549-2937. That brings me to another question, the post-storm stress. Dealing with insurance companies, dealing with FEMA, the toxic stress of living in a part of the country where this happens again and again. How does that impact our mental health over time?
That's really the big question. It's not, these acute events are stressful, but they're relatively short-lived. And, you know, we're Floridians. We're used to this. They happen every year that we start watching the Atlantic Basin and watching the storms creep closer. We're accustomed to that. What we're not accustomed to is the long, drawn-out healing after a hurricane or any storm hits. And again, that takes its toll. It's day in, day out. If we don't have electricity, the discomfort of not having air conditioning down here in Florida, the discomfort of not having fresh food, or people getting on each other's nerves when they don't have anything else to do and they're all at home together. Those are the things that really start to take wear away at our nerves. And again, making sure you take time out for yourself, making sure that you're finding things to do that you enjoy, even if it's a little things. Watching your language, trying not to use inflammatory language like this is terrible, this is awful, we're never going to get through this, and replacing that with this is inconvenient, this is uncomfortable, but we're going to make it. And how we talk ourselves through the situation can go a long way to getting us through.
Particularly in the way we talk to our children, right?
Absolutely. Children are kind of the most vulnerable people because they look to adults for support. They look to us to how we are going to manage ourselves through this and how we're going to survive. So how you behave and the things you say is how your children are going to learn to cope with this, and not just right now, but for tragedy in the future.
And let me ask you one more question about the existential threat posed by the specter of more powerful storms, longer lasting storms. As climatologists tell us, this is going to be the new normal for the East Coast of America as the oceans warm. That's something that stresses people out, too.
Absolutely. And it seems like every day there's something new to be stressed out, whether it's a storm or whether it's our diets or whether whatever out there is intruding on our sense of well-being. And what's important is to, at some point, dial it all back and focus on the things you can control to be part of the solution and to take care of your own little corner in this world. And that's kind of the best that we can do right now. And basically letting kind of the big things sort themselves out and just being part of the solution on a very local scale.
Thanks for that. He's Dr. David Cheshire, trauma psychologist with UF Health Jacksonville. Doctor, you stay safe too. And thank you for sharing your insights with us, keeping us cool in the eye of the storm. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Be well.
And as we track Hurricane Dorian here on the show today and throughout the day and evening on 89.9 FM and WJCT.com, please be advised we have the unparalleled resources of the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network at our disposal. You can follow them on Twitter at Florida Storms, knitting the entire state together with a 24/7 on-air network that never goes out. You can always listen live, too, if you lose power and you can't watch TV or access anything else. You can listen live on any radio or through our WJCT app as we track Hurricane Dorian. Heading our way very, very slowly today. The worst effects still to come. We are going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Join WJCT for a private member reception and screening of the new Downton Abbey movie on Thursday, September 19th at the Cinemark Tinseltown. 6 p.m. reception and 7 p.m. screening. $50 donation. Costumes are encouraged. For more information, go to wjct.org/events.
on the next Fresh Air.
We're caught in a trap.
A 50th anniversary box set of Elvis Presley's 1969 comeback in Vegas has just been released. We'll talk with James Burton, the guitarist who played with Elvis on those concerts and until Elvis's death. Burton played with many iconic performers, including Sinatra. Join us weekdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
A lot of stunt actors don't feel they're getting the recognition they deserve, even when stunts are everywhere.
More and more, Hollywood is reliant on big action films or, you know, space fantasies, adventures, things like that. And very often, these films require stunts.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. The fight for a Best Stunt Oscar next time on Marketplace.
Today at 6 on 89.9 WJCT.
America's strong economy has created a labor shortage. A number of jobs are going to immigrants who are not authorized to work here. Some businesses say the Trump administration's focus on attracting highly skilled workers is hurting them. How do we meet the high demand for low-skilled workers? Next time on 1A.
Weekdays at 10 after First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
Welcome back. And as we track the path of Hurricane Dorian, if you've been following this, five people are now dead as the slow-moving storm battered the Bahamas. It's now tracking slowly toward the mainland. But there are ways you can help folks in Abacos and Grand Bahama Island. WLRN's Alex Gonzalez has more on that.
World Central Kitchen arrived in Nassau just days before Hurricane Dorian brought Category 5 winds and rain to the Bahamas. Josh Phelps runs relief operations for the nonprofit.
We're in contact with kitchens across Abaco and Grand Bahama, and we'll see which ones are still viable. And if they're not, you know, we have access to paella pans back on the Florida coast that'll be sent over, and we'll set up makeshift kitchens just with a tent, paella pans, some propane and rice and vegetables and protein and get it going that way.
World Central Kitchen is coordinating with the Bahamian government and wants to set up about four kitchens in the Bahamas. They say they could serve about 10,000 meals a day. The nonprofit was founded by Chef Jose Andres. In the last couple of years, the organization has responded to Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico and Hurricane Florence in North Carolina. I'm Alexander Gonzalez in Miami.
The National Hurricane Center, meanwhile, has issued a tropical storm warning for Jacksonville as Hurricane Dorian heads our way. We don't want to leave out our listeners in Georgia either. The governor there has told all residents along the Georgia coast to evacuate. WJCT News Director Jessica Palumbo is here now. And Jessica, as we've been talking about, we'll be tracking the storm here on 89.9 all through the day and evening and into tomorrow through the state's public radio emergency network.
Absolutely, Melissa. As we've done for the past week or so, it feels like the lead up to this storm has been one of the longest that we've had here in Northeast Florida. Yeah. It's the never-ending preparation for Dorian. And we've been in constant contact with the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network meteorologists out of Gainesville. I have a call with them right after this show to get the very latest on what they're seeing with the track of Dorian. And we'll plan our coverage around that. But Melissa, what I can tell you is, as we've already been doing over the Labor Day weekend, we've had reporters and producers here at WJCT around the clock, and we'll continue to do so, especially as Dorian approaches the coast, the first coast, as it is going to do later this evening and into tomorrow and the following night. We're prepared to stay here at the station and provide the coverage that you need of the worst of the storm.
Yeah, we've certainly done it in the past. We'll do it again. If you're just tuning in, keep listening to 89.9 throughout the day and evening for the latest on Dorian. If you've been following it closely, you know that the eyewall will almost certainly pass us offshore. That's good news, but we will still see significant storm surge, high winds, flooding. This is a very serious storm, so download the Jax Ready app, figure out your evacuation zone, and if you're in Zone A or B, particularly in Duval County, get out of that zone. You can learn more, too, at our website at wjct.org. Lots of information there let's hope power stays on throughout the storm and people can access that.
And if it doesn't, just stay tuned to 89.9. If you have a battery-powered radio or hand crank radio, we will be broadcasting through the storm.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. Years after Irma went through, I have to tell you, people still come up to me even today and say, WJCT was a lifeline for us in the aftermath of Hurricane Irma when the flooding got really, really bad and we couldn't access any information. We were able to go out to our car, turn on the radio, and listen to you guys.
Wow.
And it saved us. We felt like we were still connected to some source of information. So that was really gratifying for all of us to hear. So stick with us through this storm, too. We will not stop. News Director Jessica Palumbo and all of us here will be working the storm. So thanks for stopping in the show.
Thanks, Melissa.
And that is our show. Thanks for listening. Our producer is Heather Schatz. Michelle Corum is our director. If you have emails, feedback about the storm, or anything else, send them to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. Hurricane Dorian will pass by Florida tomorrow. That will be the North Florida tomorrow. That will be the big, intense day. So keep listening to 89.9 throughout the day and evening and into tomorrow as we bring you regular updates from the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network. Thanks for being with us. I'm Melissa Ross. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Stay safe, and we'll see you soon.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.